Welcome to the stream. I'm Femi Okay. Thanks for watching. Today, we are looking at the current political crisis in Pakistan. If you have questions, thoughts, comments, be on YouTube and be part of this discussion. I will do my best to put your questions to our guests. So we start to talk about the recent unrest in Pakistan with Khawaja Mohammed Asif, Pakistan's Minister of Defence. Minister, it is good to have you. I describe the situation in Pakistan right now as a political crisis. Is that accurate? How would you describe it?
We do have a political crisis and law and order crisis at the moment in Pakistan. But in the next couple of days, this will die down and we'll be able to control it. It is already, subsiding. The violence is subsiding and the unrest is subsiding. This crisis, started on 9th of May when our military installations all over the country, especially in Rawalpindi, Lahore, Peshawar, and Niamwali, where our air bases were attacked by PTI workers.
Minister, if I may... There is some dispute about which party attacked which party. So I'm thinking that this unrest began when the arrest of Imran Khan happened. That sparked the protests. Was that a misjudgment?
Yeah, that is correct. Arrests are made in Pakistan. I was arrested. My leaders were arrested. Many workers of my party were arrested. But we never resorted to violence or destruction of government property or military installations. Military installations, in my humble opinion, are attacked by the enemy of the state or enemy of the country, not by people. If I have political differences with someone, I'll perhaps, if I go to the extreme, will attack some unrest.
Right.
But attacking by design, attacking the military installations, the houses of senior military officers, air bases, that was all designed. It was a declaration of war against Pakistan.
Okay, so Minister, I hear where you're coming from. You were complaining about the protesters attacking the military. I want to move on a little bit because those protesters, what are their fates? Many have been rounded up and it appears like they're going to have a military trial, not a civilian trial, even though they're civilian protesters. Can you speak to that, please?
No, that is not correct. I'll explain it. Where people have attacked the military installations or they have attacked the military convoys or military bases, air bases, of course, they'll be tried by existing military laws which are there on our statute books and permitted by the Constitution of Pakistan. We are not creating any new courts or we are not creating any new law. No new legislation is taking place. It's already, the framework is already there. And they'll be tried, people who would attack the military installations and their residences, their offices, air bases, they'll be tried by military courts.
Okay.
But they'll have the right to appeal in the High Court and then to the Supreme Court. So there's hardly any difference between a civilian trial or a military trial.
Except that international law says that civilians should not be put on military trial. Minister, I've got one more thought, and this comes for our audience, our viewers who are watching this, and it's about assessing the power of the military. You are Minister of Defence. Some of our viewers are saying that every country in the world has an army, but Pakistan's army has a country. They have a tradition of fighting against the people of their own country. This really speaks to the power of the military, how important the military in Pakistan is to what happens politically. Minister, thoughts?
Yeah, we have had four times military took over the government in the 60s, 50s, 60s, then in later part of the 70s, then in the 80s, and then earlier this century, from 1999 to, I think, 2008. Four stints of government, almost 37 years, we have been ruled by military. That is correct, you know.
So how
that
do you,
is correct.
So Minister, how do you get out of this current situation? It is, as you would say, a political crisis. How do you end the political crisis? Just in a sentence, so I can move on.
You know, we are trying to first take control of the situation, let the peace return to the cities where the unrest took place in the last 4 or 5 days. I think things are already calming down. They are coming back to normal. A couple of days and things will be back to normal. And elections will be held on schedule in October.
Minister Khawaja Mohammad Asif, Minister of Defence in Pakistan, thank you for joining us on the stream today.
You are most welcome.
So the former Prime Minister of Pakistan, Imran Khan, is at the centre of a political crisis right now. But how did we get here? Let me take you back to April of 2022, give you a timeline of events. In April of last year, the power struggle started, and that was when Prime Minister Imran Khan, or the former Prime Minister Imran Khan, was ousted from office in a parliamentary no-confidence vote. Then we moved to March of this year, and that is when Khan evaded court order arrest in Lahore. And since then, there have been more than 100 legal cases against him, including charges against corruption, inciting terrorism, blasphemy. And then bring us right up to date, May of this year, on May the 9th, arrested by paramilitary forces, then released on bail and fearing arrest again. I'm just looking at a headline here from today, earlier on today. And the headline says, Imran Khan fears arrest, says police have surrounded my house. With us to talk about this situation in Islamabad, Zahra Zaman, journalist and Pakistan Bureau Chief for Voice of America. In Washington, D.C., Uzair Yunus, Director of the Pakistan Initiative at the Atlantic Council. And in Lahore, Pakistan, Shafkat Mahmood, a senior member of the Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf Party, or PTI. Guess it's really good to have you. I'm just wondering, in a sentence, if you could describe what is happening in Pakistan right now. Pakistan politics are always vibrant, colourful, passionate, dramatic, epic. Zahra, what would you say is happening right now in your country?
Well, along with being vibrant, it has now also become rather chaotic. And last week, we saw the chaos. Right now, we're still seeing a lot of uncertainty. The chaos has settled down, but I don't understand how, when the defense minister was saying things are going to get better in the next few days, I don't understand how, because Imran Khan, who had received immunity from arrest until May 31st from a court, is now once again facing uncertainty because the government in Punjab has said that they have given PTI 24 hours notice because their claim is that there are 40 trained terrorists that are holed up in Zaman Park, which is Imran Khan's private residence in the eastern city of Lahore. The government hasn't said what's going to happen at the end of those 24 hours. They haven't given any information about who these terrorists are. So again, we're dealing with uncertainty, as just as the headline that you read. Imran Khan, when he spoke to his supporters this evening, the tweet said that this could be his last address before his arrest. So we once again don't know if he's going to get arrested tomorrow or not.
Shafkat, I was slightly taken aback when the minister said, I've been arrested. It almost sounded like being arrested, if you're in politics, is normal, business as usual. How is Imran Khan right now? How is he thinking? What is his plan? What is the PTI plan?
Well, for immediately, his house is surrounded by the police, and we are expecting any time some kind of an assault has happened before. It may happen again. The pretext this time is that there are 30, 40 terrorists there. Imran Khan himself, personally, as well as the party, has said that you bring some police delegation and the journalists, they can all come in and see if there are any terrorists hiding there. So there is a standoff right now. But, you know, this is, I was surprised when the minister said, and I agree with Zahra, that that political crisis is going to end. It's not going to end like this. If there are over 7,000 people arrested, if raids are continuing, if people's sanctity of their homes is being violated, then obviously crisis will not end in a hurry. the way the crisis can end. And I think that is really the if you will, the main reason for all of this is that the ruling alliance, PDM, just does not want to go to an election, knowing full well that if they go into an election, they will lose, that they lose badly. So they are trying everything to disqualify Mr. Imran Khan, to arrest him, to put him behind bars, to ban the party, intimidate the party, arrest its workers. So all kinds of action, try and break the party by pulling people out of it. So everything is being done just to make the playing field uneven and favor the PDM in the election that may or may not come. And I say may not because...
It's going to come in October. The minister said everything's going to calm down in a few days and the elections will be in October. Let me just share the conversation with your co-panelist, Uzair. Uzair, I'm wondering about the protesters and what is happening to them. The description of them facing military courts rather than a civilian court is concerning for many. And in fact, we have a contribution from an anonymous protester. She wants to stay anonymous because she's scared for what might happen to her, who explains what is happening to protesters right now from her perspective. Let's have a listen, let's have a look. And then please, can you comment on what you've seen?
In the past week in Pakistan, we have witnessed a disturbing crackdown on protesters demanding free and fair elections. Shockingly, women, children and the elderly have been subjected to unimaginable violence, assault and abduction. We've seen horrifying videos of women being dragged by the hair, being beaten in custody. Many have had their houses raided in the middle of the night. Announcing military courts to try these people further escalates tensions and is also incompatible with our obligations under the international human rights law. It's also essential to hold accountable the perpetrators of violence against innocent protesters. Disturbingly, reports indicate that over 7,000 people have been unlawfully detained, and these authoritarian tactics are aimed at suppressing the demand for democratic rights.
Zay, go ahead.
Look, no party, no political worker in any society should face state oppression, especially a party that was birthed, nurtured, and thrust into power by the institution, the military, that is now actively trying to dismantle it. But we must also do some truth-telling over here. And the fact of the matter is that Mr. Mahmood and his party, when they were in power, arrested their political opponents, their political workers of their political opponents, and did much of what is being done to them today. So this is a personal fight, and there are no off-ramps available. And I think what needs to happen is for leaders like Minister Asif, who was just on, and Mr. Mahmood, to be honest to the people of Pakistan about whose behest they were doing what. Why were they oppressing their other party when they were in power? And more importantly for the PTI at this point in time, to not distance itself from its workers, which is it is actively doing by saying these were not our people, but in fact stand by them, especially those with less privilege. Because what's going to happen and what's already happening in Pakistan is that those with privilege, the sons and daughters of generals, colonels, majors, judges, etc., are making deals to protect their own, whereas the ordinary citizens who came out on the streets because Mr. Khan and his party riled them up to attack military installations, they're facing the full brunt of the state and its machinery, including being trialed in military courts, which is condemnable. It should not happen in any society. If we are to move on in Pakistan over here, then the PTI and the PDM and the military must be a bit more honest with the people of Pakistan over the games they've played with ordinary citizens over the last few years.
I think we are running into some conclusions here to say that the people were asked to go and attack and burn or whatever military installations is absolutely incorrect. And therefore, we've asked for an independent inquiry because the party has reasons to believe that there were agents provocateurs
If I may, Imran Khan actually spoke to Al Jazeera just a few hours ago, and I want to just take a little bit of his interview where he talks about this very issue that you're explaining. I want him to do it in his own words, and then we can pick up from here. Here he is, early on today on Al Jazeera.
How can 7,500 people be in jail? How can all the top leadership be in jail? At least they must prove some, there must be some evidence that they were involved in some wrongdoing. All my people have always been told to protest peacefully. And I have all the statements. From 27 years, I've always said, stay between the constitution and the law. Do not indulge in any violence. And we, our party is known for that. So how come suddenly they started burning down buildings? We have evidence that there were people planted inside who did that.
I just want to bring in Sarah, because you have been reporting, and I want to bring in another voice, which is, what happens when you get to this point? Elections are supposed to be in October. There is unrest, political unrest. The country is divided. I'm just going to bring in Kamal's voice. She talked to us a little bit earlier about how do you ramp down for where Pakistan is right now. Here she is.
For a country plagued by violence, crime, and with a very strong gun culture, de-escalation needs to happen, and it needs to happen fast. The regime, a puppet of the military establishment, is baiting otherwise peaceful protesters into violence, and violent mobs cannot be controlled. Enforced disappearances and a bloodbath help no one. The fascism and the state terrorism needs to stop, and elections need to be called as soon as possible.
Sarah, how do you get to a situation where there's calm in Pakistan?
So, Femi, I actually want to bring in a couple of more things also.
Please go ahead.
When PTI says and when Imran Khan says that, you know, we never asked our people to commit any kind of violence, they recently released a video message that he had recorded on the 22nd of March, I believe, and in which he's talking about how he has always stopped his people from any kind of violence. But the fact is that in the middle of March, when authorities went to his residence in Lahore to, you know, serve his warrants and to arrest him, what did his party do? His party sent out a call to his supporters to come out from anywhere and everywhere. And then his supporters, they clashed with police. So it's not as if the party has always, you know, if warrants were served, that Imran Khan just got up and walked with the authorities to appear in court. At other times also, when he has appeared in court, one, he has missed a lot of court hearings. And when he has appeared, he has also gone to court with a huge contingent of supporters. And
so are you saying that this is partly the PTI's fault, the situation that they find themselves in and their leader finds themselves in? Are you criticising how they operate?
See, I'm just putting out the facts. I mean, somebody can see it as criticism. Somebody can just see it as, you know, objective, just, you know, factual reporting. But the fact is that the party has given its people this messaging again and again, that if anything happens to Imran Khan, you must come out, and you must come out in full force. So many times we have seen the hashtag trend, Imran Khan is our red line. We have seen very close supporters, allies of Imran Khan, say on camera that if something happens to him, it's going to be utter chaos in Pakistan.
I think
should that have been taken as a threat? I don't know, but Mr. Shafkat can speak to why PTI supporters have come out in the past many times and said things like that.
Well, there is a big difference between people gathering and people protesting peacefully and violence. In Pakistan, there has been a long history of political parties going to the people, protesting, going onto the streets and so on. This has been a regular feature of Pakistani politics for a very, very long time. There's a big difference between that and saying that a party is directing people to go. I mean, it's very sad what happened that day. My heart hurts, bleeds as much as any Pakistanis for what happened. But the question is, there is what we have asked for is an independent inquiry. Will you get it?
If Imran Khan has up to 100 or maybe more than 100 charges against him, how will you get an independent inquiry?
Well, it's not easy, but the judiciary, we are hoping that the courts, and by the way, the government is attacking the courts now. The Chief Justice is being attacked. The other courts are being attacked. But why? Because the courts are giving form.
Safkat, I'm going to come back to you because you're breaking up a little bit.
But
so
I do want to clarify just one point.
Yes, go ahead.
Femi, I do want to clarify this much, that I'm not saying that all of the violence was perpetrated by PTI supporters alone. I mean, there could be troublemakers, there could be, you know, planted people. I don't have any independent information on that. And just as PTI is demanding an independent inquiry into the protests, and the government is, you know, laying out its own
what I would like to do for our viewers, because I know you've been reporting on the ground, is to give our viewers a sense of how passionate PTI supporters are, what they're doing around Imran Khan's home to fortify it. Have a look at this clip. It gives you a sense of the loyalty of PTI members. Let's have a look.
ये खान साहब की ये घर की दीवार है और यहाँ पे हमने सिक्योरिटी के पेश नज़र यहाँ पे हमने सीमेंट और रेत की बोरियाँ यहाँ पे बना के रखी थी. जब यहाँ पे हमला हुआ था, पुलिस ने दावा बोला था, उसके पेश नज़र बाद में हम लोगों ने यहाँ पे एक इस साइड पे कंटेनर लगवा दिया था ताकि कोई यहाँ पे हैवी व्हीकल या वाटर कैनन जो है पुलिस के अंदर ना घुस सके, और इस साइड पे भी कंटेनर लगवा दिया था. यहाँ पे मेडिकल सर्विसेज, मेडिकल कैंप्स वगैरह लगाए गए थे. इसकी ज़रूरत पहले नहीं थी, लेकिन जब से ये शेलिंग वगैरह यहाँ पे दावा बोला गया और उसके बाद से यहाँ पे इसकी ज़रूरत महसूस हुई. हम सब का मकसद यही था कि खान साहब को बचाना है और अपना मुस्तकबिल बचाना
है. Zaid, this has got to be the very definition of loyal with your followers surrounding your home. They've got a water cannon there. What does this tell us about where politics is right now in Pakistan? It feels like there's a low-key battle going on, and who knows what is going to happen next. Zaid, go ahead.
Pakistan's tearing apart at the seams right now. I've been saying since last year, this is the most serious threat to national cohesion since 1971, when Bangladesh was born. And to Mr. Mahmood's point, if the PTI was not sending its people to attack military installations, then my question is, how did the nephew of Mr. Imran Khan, the leader of the party, end up with the trousers of the general who was living at Jinnah House at that point in time? There's a video available for all to see about that, right? Now, that does not mean that I condone in any way, shape, or form what's happening to the ordinary workers of the PTI or its leadership. What's happening is repression. What's happening is condemnable. And what's happening is should be resisted and talked about openly as violation of human rights in Pakistan. The PTI's demand for elections in the Punjab and Khyber Pakhtunkhwa is legitimate. The government has run away from a constitutional duty to hold elections in Pakistan in a timely manner as mandated by the law. But again, this does not mean that charged up workers of the PTI resist arrest, attack police, attack military installations. And then Mr. Khan himself a few days ago said his fight is with the Army Chief General Munir. And today he sang a very different tune, saying that he would never criticize the Army or take a fight with them. Well, a few days ago, he was telling his workers that Mr. Munir, General Munir, is responsible for his arrest. And then all of a sudden, his position changes. So again, I will keep repeating this
point.
Well,
I think
that it is important for everybody.
Charge sheet against Imran.
I didn't interrupt you,
instead
sir.
Instead of being an independent analyst, you have you have a long list of things that you attack.
I know on Pakistani television, you like to interrupt people.
My
retirement plan is Pakistan television, so I can have 200 guests all debating with each other. That is going to be my retirement plan. But let me show you and tell you what is happening on YouTube right now, guests, because you have sparked a conversation. Shariq, there is no de-escalation. The Pakistan Army, says Pranjal, never won a war and never lost an election. And then in the coming weeks, many people are saying, we would like an election. When will there be an election? This is a conversation, guest, that I know will continue for many weeks and months to come. We really appreciate your insight, trying to explain what the political crisis means for Pakistan and also for the world. Thank you to Sara, to Uzair, and also Shafkat, and also to the many viewers who are online right now on YouTube. We really appreciate you. The news continues, obviously, with what is happening in Pakistan on AlJazeera.com and on the news hours as well. Thanks for watching. I'll see you next time. Take care.